So out of it, I don't know the numbers. It's Perek Chav Ches. Okay. So we're... good morning, everybody. We're holding in Perek Chav Ches and Tiferes after the last couple of prakim, where we have spoken about the time and the place of Matan Torah. And the last Perek, we spoke a little bit more about the timing in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu Hosif Yom Echad Midato, how Moshe Rabbeinu chose the specific time to some degree on his own. We now, here in Perek Chav Ches, the Maharal starts to get into the actual story of Matan Torah. And it begins with the Diburim Shekadmu L'Matan Torah, the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of proposal, the words which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu to communicate to the Jewish people as he was proposing Matan Torah. So the Pasuk begins, Moshe Elohim, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Hashem, ascended to Hashem, Vayikra Elov Hashem in Ahar, Lamer Hashem called up to him from the mountain, saying, Ko somar leves Yaakov v'saged livnei Yisrael. A famous opening line, if I ever heard one. Right, so you shall say to the Beis Yaakov, and tell the Bnei Yisrael. So Rashi over here quotes part of the Medrash that the Maral is going to analyze. Rashi says, Ko somar b'loshon hazeh u'kaseder hazeh leBeis Yaakov elu anoshim. Beis Yaakov refers to the women. And Taimar Lohen, Beloshen Raka, Amira is a little bit of a softer form of speaking. So speak to them more softly. V'sagid l'bnei Yisrael, and tell the Bnei Yisrael. The Bnei Yisrael refers to the men. Oinshim v'digdukim, the consequences, the punishments, and v'digdukin, and this very, very specific details. Paresh explained l'scharim to the males. Dvorim hakoshim kegidim. And Rashi explains that the term saged we know to be harder than the term amira, because saged is related to the term gid. A gid is a sinew, a tendon, a muscle, you know, like something which is harder. Amira is much more of a mild term than taged is tough. So Beis Yaakov refers to the women. Bnei Yisrael refers to the men. Kosomar leBeis Yaakov, speak more softly to the Beis Yaakov and more tough to the Bnei Yisrael. Why is Beis Yaakov the women? So simply it would be because of the term bias, right? Hanoshim shenikru bias b'chol mocha. And so the Maral says over here, and that's the Poshat Pshat, as we find, right? The woman is the mainstay of the house. Even a daughter is called Bas, right? Bas, as opposed to, and when we speak about it, we write a son, not in Hebrew, but in Aramaic, is called a bar, right? Bar means outside, right? So we speak up, Mibayis, or Michutz, Tetzapenu, right? So in the traditional role, Kokfuda Bas Melech Penima, right? The woman is more in charge of the internal, and the man is gonna be out there, more of the externals. And therefore, we say bias refers to the women. Beis Yaakov as opposed to Bnei Yisrael. The difference, Yaakov Yisrael, is not what we're going to be discussing here today. We're following the order, the way the Maral does it. But again, this is the Rashi bringing a brief version of this drasha. The Maral brings a more extensive version of the drasha from the Medrash Rabbah and Shemos. He says, Kaisamer leBeis Yaakov, Elu Anoshim. Emorla and Roshei Dvorim. Say to them, Roshei Dvorim, what we might call headlines. V'saged livnei Yisrael, elu ha'anoshim. That refers to the men. Emorla em didukei Dvorim, she'im yichaylim lishmaya. Tell them the details that they're able to hear. V'lama l'anoshim tchila. And why the women first? I'm just reading to you the Medrash. The Maral is going to analyze it with more detail. V'lama l'anoshim tchila. Why start with the women? If Beis Yaakov is the women, why do we find them going first? Shehem mezarzais b'mitzvais, or mezurazais b'mitzvais, because they are quick, or are quickening others, encouraging others, when it comes to the performance of mitzvahs. Davar acher, Another reason is because they guide their sons, their children, to Torah study. Hashem said, when I created the world and I gave my first mitzvahs, who did I give them to? I gave them to Adam HaRishon. And then Chava was instructed. When was Chava instructed? In fact, we don't have Hashem ever speaking directly to Chava in the instruction phase. So we say, rather, that either Adam gave it over to Chava, or Chava got it by extension because she was taken from Adam HaRishon. But he started with Adam, and then it continued to Chava. V'avra v'kilkala esa olam. And look what she did. She was the one who initiated the transgression, and it ruined the world. Achshav imeini kaira l'nashim t'chila heimavatleis hatera. Now I better go to the women first, because if I don't, they're going to negate the Torah that I'm giving now. Lokach, kaisaymer leBeis Yaakov. That's why he started with the Beis Yaakov. That's the way the Medrash says it. Rabbi Yechanan Amar, and Rabbi Yechanan disagrees from the ground floor. LeBeis Yaakov does not refer to the women, but Elu Sanhedrin. It refers to actually the Sanhedrin of the Jewish people. Shenemar, as it says, Beis Yaakov l'chu v'nelcha b'er Hashem. And he understands that pasuk in the beginning, towards the beginning of Yeshaya, as referring to the Sanhedrin. Okay, that's the Medrash on this pasuk, on this introductory proposal pasuk which the Maral is bringing. And he's going to come here to analyze it, kedarko, piece by piece. So he says, first of all, right, remember that as we look at this Medrash, we have a couple of stages to the Medrash. You know, the first stage of the Medrash is of course, with the assumption that Beis Yaakov are the women and Bnei Yisrael are the men. And it's really explaining the difference between how he spoke to the women and how he spoke to the men. Somar versus Saged. And then, later, the question is, why the women before the men? Okay, so those are two stages in the initial part. So, in terms of the first, speaking differently to the women than to the men, says the Maharal, that we know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to everybody, kafi haro'i. He speaks to everybody according to that which is fit and suited for them. Right? The famous Midrashim, which Maharal doesn't bring here, Rabbi Hartman brings a sample in his notes. You know, Koil Hashem Bakoyach. Right? So we say it's not, the Medrash Anna says it's not Bekoychai, it's not in his strength, but it's Bekoychai Shol Kol Echad V'Echad. The voice of Hashem, as much as it was one voice, so to speak, which came out from Hashem, but it reached people, every person, according to where they were. And everybody heard it according to their capacity, according to the level to which they were able. Now, of course, on a great sense, we see this as being a unique, miraculous kayach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a little bit of that as well, however, when it comes to people. Because what do we say when it comes to the mitzvah of Hakil? We say very similar things to what we have here. Hakil esa'am ha'anashim v'anashim v'hataf. Gather the people, the men, the women, and the children. Right? So the pasuk gives this instruction. And it goes on and it says, L'man yishmon, so that they'll hear, Ulman yilmedu, and that they'll learn. V'yoru es Hashem alekechem, and they'll fear Hashem your God. V'shamu lasis kol divrei Hatorah hazeis. V'neim asher lo yadu, their children that didn't know, yishmu v'lamdu liyoru es Hashem alekechem, etc. So the Gemara says, right, famous drasha of Rabbi Yeshua, says the Gemara, Anashim boim lilmoid. Men, when they come to Hakel, they come to learn. Noshim boim lishmaya. Women come to hear. Taf, lamayim boim. Why do children come? Lasei schayel miviyem. Taf come, whatever this literal translation is, to give reward to those who bring them. Many understand, we discussed it recently in a Pirkei Avashir, that they were coming for the environmental benefits of the child being in such an environment of Torah. So the Gemara is saying that there was one event of Hakel. There weren't they didn't break up into workshops at Hakel, you understand. You know, the king just learned with them Sefer Dvarim. But men who have a charge of Limud HaTorah, of a more intense engagement in the study of Torah, when they came L'man Yilmedu. Women who have less of a responsibility to learn Torah with intensity, but they do have to know the Torah, they do have to know what to do, so there it's L'man Yishmu. They'll hear, which is describing less of an intensive engagement. And children, they got at their level. So there was one reading, and all these people were there, and each person got out of it what they got out of it. You know, you could have different people listening to any reading, or any story, or any shiur, or any speech, or anything else, and people will hear it on different levels, according to the capacity that they have. So, Kol Hashem Bakoyach is on a certain level, I think we are to understand, and the Medrash guides us to understand, that there's a special koyach as well of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was modulated koyach according to the different receivers. But on the other hand, a lot of it is really just about the people themselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke. Different people have different capacities, and they picked up more or less at the same time. Could be that way, except it sounds like here in this case HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to first approach the women and speak to them in a certain way and then approach the men in their way, but the idea is still built of an understanding that each person has to be taught just according to their capacity, according to the way that they're going to be able to handle it.
But
what's the difference?
Preparatory here. This is not the.
This is not even the Torah itself. This is still even to some degree the introduction. But Chazal are understanding that we're talking here, it seems, the way Chazal say it, is not even just the preparatory. Just like when we speak about remembering Har Sinai, we don't just speak about remembering the event, but we understand that it's referring to all the Torah that we learned there too. It seems that there's an element of that in the way the Medrash tries to convey things here too.
Because Matan Torah is one thing, it's, you know, Kodesh Baruch Hu did what he did. They're on the level of Nevi'im, whatever, not necessarily the same ones.
Right.
And so there doesn't seem to be that distinction.
Correct.
The
correct. In terms of the sequence of going to them first, it was how Moshe Rabbeinu was just approaching the people. But what's the difference? Now, in this Medrash, it's different than Rashi. What Rashi brings, which is also found in Chazal, is one difference is that to the women you'll just say it to them. Here's a nice thing, and to the men you say it tough. You warn them of the consequences. It's not just a nice proposal, it's also a proposal which is, it can go this way, or it can go, heaven forbid, the other way, and there will be consequences to be faced. That's the toughness of it. In the Medrash, the difference of between soft and hard is whether it's general or whether it's very detailed. If I'll talk to you about Shmiras Shabbos, and it's a day that you should take off from work, right, and you should make sure that everything is prepared before Shabbos, that's Lashon Raka. If I start getting into the details about how you're supposed to prepare your salad, right, on Shabbos morning, or, you know, all the very, very specific and precise rules, that's already Kasha Kegidin. That's already a much harder, much more technical, and therefore difficult type of a teaching. Chazal, I think, okay, and whenever we wade into these areas of kashas, right, but and even when it's only men, right, but the Chazal seem to have, as part of their understanding of the difference between men and women when it came to Talmud Torah, which Chazal were definitely very cautious, right, the Mishnah and Sota and so on that speaks about being careful about over-teaching women Torah, over-teaching, and again, a lot has to do with different people and different trainings, I think, right? But some of it has to do with, a significant amount of it also has to do with a certain nature, is that indeed it was in this area of detail that to some degree Chazal were cautious. And that's not inconsistent with a lot of social science about how minds can work. There are exceptions to every rule. Absolutely there are exceptions to every rule, right? Both on the male side and on the female side. Especially when it comes to Chazal, which we're going to talk about clearly, where it speaks about how women took 9 measures of conversation. There are a lot of exceptions to that on our side of the mechitza, right? Especially when they're standing on our side of the mechitza. But there's general rules. And the idea of the detail, the specifics, as opposed to the general sense of things, that's considered by Chazal to be something that would be more expected of the male. When Chazal say, for instance, that statement that, you know, so to speak, is brought to haunt us many times, like, you know, Noshim Datan Kales Alein. Right? Women are sort of light in their heads, in the way that, in their approach to things. What Chazal are speaking about there is that when you're speaking about the precision and the detail, you know, bedikas chametz and so on and so forth, and you know, to clean, or even to clean well, but you know, to think of it in terms of all the halachas of shema gira chulda, you know, like the mice, and how should we manage this, and what's called an area where you take chametz and not, the precision is considered to be something which is more in the realm of the male approaching things with the legalities and technicalities. And the woman, however, is very much more going to be the general in both ways. But the of the term. But that's the distinction, and that's what we're describing here. Taimar Lashon Raka is the soft meaning, just the general principle. This is what has to be done, and Sagate is getting down to the difficulty of the details. And so often, indeed, that's where the difficulty lies. Okay. So that's the way he introduces the first thing of the difference of how we address them both. Okay, everybody okay? Okay. So now comes the issue of sequence, to which the Medrash gave a series of explanations. Why do you tell them first? So the first one is Shem Mizarzeis B'mitzvahs, because they are going to be quick to mitzvahs. What's this characterization of women being quick to mitzvahs? Writes the Maharal in his classic way, which he uses in many different places where he discusses the men-women thing, is that women are krovim el hachomer and men are krovim el hatsura. In the philosophical terms which the Maharal used and many before him used, we speak about the world as including things which are chaymer, which are, so to speak, the raw matter, and then we speak about the tzura, about how that raw matter is shaped. Right? The simple classic example is the chaymer is the ball of clay, and the tzura is when you shape it into a bowl or you shape it into a mug. Right? So that shape, it's really nothing. It's not any additional matter, but it's taken the matter and it's turned it into something. It's given it a direction, a function, a purpose. And in broad terms, that's the way Chazal speak about the, to some degree, the relationship that will exist between Zachar and Nekeva. The male forms, and the female is the matter to be, to some degree, formed. Now, please don't go home and discuss this over breakfast, right? In the simple manner in which I just conveyed it to you, because it's a lot more complex, of course, than that. In a certain sense, you know, in Chazal speak of it, they use the, carefully, Chazal describe almost a biological symptom of this. They refer to the woman and her relationship to the man as, like the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, ki vayalayich oisayich. Right, which is that the male and the female, when they consummate the marriage, the man actually finishes the physical structure of the woman. Right? The Gemara expresses it as Ein ha'isha kaireses bris ela lamisha isa isa kli. The woman will have a special firm relationship with her first husband, the first person who she was with, because he makes her into a kli. He finishes her, because the woman before that, she has besulim, her opening is not complete. The man completes the opening. There's the idea of, to some degree, shaping, right? And it's an interesting term which Chazal used, by the way, eino isha kaireses bris, and maybe we'll reference this a little bit later in our discussion, but you'll realize that both male and female have a change from the way they are born in their reproductive area. the male has it at the bris, which is given to him, administered to him by his parents. Right? And that is the bris which brings him into the bris HaShal, you know, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bris HaShal Avraham Avinu with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The woman has no such thing at that stage. But however, her area also changes. But it's changed by, not by her parents, but it's changed by her husband. Right? When they have their first consummation. And that's Ein HaIsha Kereses Bris El Misha Isa Isakli. The woman will make that bris, that covenant. Her bris isn't the bris, so to speak, that we're referencing, a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the bris which she's creating with her husband. So that's like a physical symptom of a broader thing. Now, does that say that a child, that a boy is chaymer because somebody does something to him? Well, to some degree, he sure is. When he's a little baby, to some degree, he is chaymer. He is chaymer in philosophical terms. And what do you do to your child? Right? You try to form and to cultivate your child. You don't just let the child grow wild. To some degree, as a little boy growing up, you're trying to be shaping and molding the influence. Well, of course, what we have here in this idea of Chaimer and Sura, male and female, is to some degree that's what happens here as well. It's trickier because by the child, the influence is very largely, you know, top down, from the parent to the child. By the woman, it's very ambiguous. Right? So tell Adam HaRishon what a great influence he was on Chava. Right? Chava drew him to do what he did. You know, this is not going to be an emphasis here in this medrash, and it's according at least to the Maral's translation, but according to the simple Maral's interpretation, but according to the simple interpretation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognized the immense influence which is exercised by the women, and he said, you know, I better speak to them first. And that way, it'll get the men to do it. So when we speak about Chaymer Tzura and say, oh, because the man forms the woman, you know, I mean, beyond the physical in terms of things, we have to realize that there's a high degree of give and take that occurs here. And the woman very much can end up, and often does end up, being a huge directional influence. But to some degree, at least on the structural level, there is an idea that she is part of Beis Avosav, right? In other words, the family name is going to be, classically, the male's family name. The children are going to be part of the Shevet of the father, the woman herself, right? If she marries a Kayan, so then she can eat Truma. If she's a Bas Kayan and she marries a Yisrael or a Levi, she can't eat Truma anymore. To some degree, she is doing things this way. That's the way Kiddushin works. Kiddushin works as if the man is Kona, the woman. He takes the woman. It's not a mutual transaction. That's why, you know, Rav Maisha said, when it comes to a double ring ceremony, right, we don't just say, okay, look, you know, what does it hurt? He gave her the ring. So she wants to give him a ring afterwards? Like, what's the difference? Right? But if somehow it's part of the ceremony, he gives her a ring and she gives him a ring, so then you're not presenting the whole idea as kinyan ki yikach ish isha. You're taking each other, right? Which is tilokach isha leish or tikach isha ish, which changes the whole dynamic of what's happening. And that's why he had a problem with it, you know, fundamentally. So if a woman wants to give her husband a present of a wedding band, fine, but don't do it under the chuppah, right? And some nowadays, you know, they do it, but they'll do it like, you know, after everything is done, to sort of separate it from the Kinyan Kiddushin. But whatever it is, the idea is that that's the nature of how, at least on the surface, that relationship is going to be defined, and it also has huge differences. The direction in which the husband, you know, the husband who's is so to speak guarding the, you know, is out there, right? And the woman is guarding the bias, but you know, the husband decides whether you know his job is transferring him to Tennessee or to Illinois or to Maryland or to Yerushalayim Lahavdil or whatever it is. There's a lot of direction which comes there. Okay, now tell me something. Poor lady, Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu puts her in this position where she has to take her husband's name and she has to do everything else. So Chazal have a remarkable view of things, which I think when we reflect about it and when we think about it, we have to see that if somebody would believe in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, so then it's like a necessary belief, which is that the way Chazal saw it is that the woman is really actually going to be by nature mukhenes lekach. You know, we just finished saying before that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure to speak to everybody according to their capacity. So let me ask you a question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes two beings, a male and a female. And together they're going to form a couple. And together with Hashem's help and blessing, they're going to have a child. The man, the way he's going to participate in having the child is, he's going to have intimate relations with his wife. And that's it. The woman is going to have intimate relationships with her, relationship with her husband. Then she's going to have this baby growing and growing and growing Be'ezer Hashem inside her for 9 months. She's going to be lugging it around for 9 months. Then she gives birth. Ah! Then, according to nature, she's going to be lugging him around for another couple of years, year or two, because the food which HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for this child is coming from the woman. Right? That's the simple pshat, by the way, which Rishonim say, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, as a result of the chet, that the etzev tel dibonim, and so on and so forth, the childbirth becomes a process. It's not just like instant baby. You know, two go into the bed and three come out, the way Chazal said it was and it would be without the chet. Right? And the child walks out, you know, and does it. But now it's a process of months and then child rearing and so on and so forth. That's why it says, you'll have to look to your husband and he'll, to some degree, control, the Pasuk says. I mean, not my words. Right? The Pasuk's words. Why? Because there becomes, by definition, an economic dependency. Because if the woman is going to be saddled, quote unquote, with pregnancy and childbirth, right? So, maternity leave, you know, like, she needs somebody who's going to be able to be out there consistently. The husband, this isn't going to interrupt with his work schedule until the Family Leave Act of whatever year that was, you know, and, you know, it wasn't like that. There's a natural thing over here. So tell me something. Some people in this room are fathers, right? So if you're a father and your wife goes out and she leaves you with the baby and with a nice supply of formula, right? And she leaves you for 3 hours, right? When she comes back, how big is the medal that you want to be placed on your chest? Right? You know? It's like you say, wow, look what I did. It's unbelievable. I'm Amish. I took care of the kids for 3 hours.
Especially
unbelievable.
If you change the diaper.
Right?
Especially if you change the diaper.
And to some degree, you know, like, okay, come on, like, you know, like, get me out of here, or I can't believe you left me for the kid for 3 hours and he only slept for 2.5 hours of it. What a chutzpah. You know, he should have slept for all 3 hours. You know, like, how do you do it? So tell me something. How do the women do it? Now, of course, again, everybody's different. And there are men who will be very, very comfortable and fine with it, and there'll be women who will also be going nuts as a result. But broad strokes for general. Do you think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the woman the womb to carry the baby and the ability to nurse the baby? Right? He gave them all the physical tools, but he didn't give them an emotional constitution to match, right? As if it was a manufacturer, right? You would sue them, right? You go and you give me a machine with you know, that can go and produce this kind of thing, that kind of thing, but you don't make it to be able to withstand the wear and tear of doing that. You know, you put in the capacity to do it, you put in the technical mechanism to do it, but you don't give it the strength to be able to, you know, to actually handle it. How do you do that? You wouldn't do that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the Bayre, who creates everything with perfection and so on and so forth, he created only the physical nature, you know, the physical tools like instruments, but he didn't create the emotional nature to boot. This is where Chazal speak about the idea of a woman having an easier time as a Mekabel. And where Chazal speak about the idea of a woman having a more natural time as a creature of connection. And it's not just Chazal. It's not just Chazal. Nowadays, right, in the rebound from the days when it was considered politically incorrect to discuss this on any level, right, so one of the most best-selling books and series of books of the past 20 years are Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. Right? Now, there are, you know, there's a theory that underlies these books, and it's expressed better, in my view, in a different book, it's called You Just Don't Understand, about male and female communication, where it talks about the basic idea, which, you know, not from Torah sources at all, but from psychology and sociology, that males are creatures of independence and competition, and women are creatures of connection and relationship, and how it expresses itself classically in conversation patterns. Right? The Gemara says, 10 measures of sicha, of conversation, came down to the world. 9 were taken by women. 9 were taken by women. What does that mean? Right? What are Chazal saying? So Chazal are describing, and this is what the sociological books tell you, and it's always good to read it, right? To, you know, young men getting married, people themselves who are married. Now, classic, husband comes home from work at the end of the day, sits down for dinner with his wife. Oh, honey, how was your day? Anything going on today? And the husband thinks for a second, and you know, anything unusual happened? Look at this, whatever. Okay, yeah. My boss was fired. Okay, good. That's it. That's the news for today. And honey, how was your day? How was your day? And she says, well, at 6:30, my alarm clock went off, and I hit the snooze button. I rolled over, and I, right? You know, so I excuse the extremes, but you understand that, and this is what they describe. Men understand speech as a means to communicate specific ideas, and females understand speech as a means of connection. So even if you have nothing specific, no specific new tidbit, critical piece of information that you have to be told strategically, but if I'm talking to you, we're connected to each other. And that's the sicha. That's the sicha we speak about. And by the way, of course you understand that one of the terms for tefillah is sicha, vayetze Yitzchok l'suach basada. Because we understand that tefillah is not just needs. Needs are sometimes created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Chazal say, in order to make it that we'll be able to have a sicha. I'm going to make you need something so you'll talk to me, so we'll relate through conversation. The needs are created in order to do it. Hashem gave us the man once a day, not once a year or once a month, because he said, this way, every night you'll talk to me. But what I want is for you to talk to me. If you would talk to me when you didn't have the need, I wouldn't make you beg for it. What's the idea? The idea is that when you're competitive, so then you're not interested l'kabel, you're interested to assert. And when you are more interested in connection and relationship, so then I'll take it. I just want to be connected. And that's the nature that the Isha is there, l'kabel. She's there to receive. And that's why, to some degree, we speak about here that nashim are the reason the mitzvahs. Because it's not just true in relationship to another person, it's true in relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. Women have on a certain significant side of it, have a much greater openness to spirituality, to tefillah, to aspects of connection to Hashem Yisbarach. Because they simply don't resist it as much. They're not out there trying to carve out their own being, their own self, their own realm of individual, separate accomplishment. Look, they're used to it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the constitution to delight in carrying around this child for all these months, before and after. Right? How do they do that? That means that even though, to some degree, they're not able to pursue their favorite hobby or the kind of work that they would like to do, and so on and so forth, they'll be mavatil it, because, come on, I'm being able to do this, to be able to have this child, to be able to connect to this child. It's worth it. That means that they're able to compromise on their individual goals for relationship. That equals the reason the mitzvahs. That's why, to some degree, the women will come first, because they're mezurazim and mitzvahs. They're more ready, primed, interested in that relationship, that kesher with another, including with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself.
Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing, ultimately, to have a dveikus of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is a connection?
Yeah, and that's why, in that sense, they're going to be primed for it.
So they get there faster.
Right. You know, for those of you who were with us for long, I don't remember, maybe I talked to you about this 3 weeks ago, I don't remember, so you'll excuse me if I'm repeating myself, but I'll tell you one place where we did speak about it, which was in the Be'er HaGoyla. In the Be'er HaRavi, the Maral speaks about the Chazal, where in the Be'er HaRavi, the Maral speaks about Chazalin, which say things about Hashem that are surprising, like that Hashem davens or Hashem loses arguments about what the halacha is to the Jewish people. Right, so one of the Chazal in there is that on Rosh Chodesh, when it refers to the Sa'ir Chatas, which is brought on Rosh Chodesh, it says it's Chatas LaHashem. So the Chazal say, the Gemara says, why does it say Chatas LaHashem? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, bring for me a Korban Chatas, because I made the moon small. Okay, the moon was originally Shnei Amayris HaGdelim, they were both large. And remember, we daven in Kiddush Levana, Hashem should make it large again like it was before he made it small after creation. And so Hashem said, look, I made it small, bring for me a Korban Chatas because I made the moon small. So of course, what's the problem? What does that Chazal sound like? It sounds like Kodesh Baruch Hu did an Avera, right? Which in itself would be astounding. And then on top of that, Hashem has to bring a Korban Chatas in order to be able to atone for the Avera. Like, who is exactly he's offering to? He's offering it to him, you know, to himself. So what's the pshat? So says the Maharal that the pshat is like this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the moon small. He made the moon a makabel. He made the moon a makabel, right? The sun shines bright of its own energy, its own light, and the moon, right, made out of cheese, just reflects the light of the sun. And it's less, and it goes through cycles, and so on and so forth. So poor moon, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it so small. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because the moon is small and accepting, the moon represents the greater connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On Rosh Chodesh, you have an extra Korban LaHashem, because indeed the moon stands less in the way and facilitates the greater relationship to Hashem Yisbarach. There's an extra Korban, there's an extra coming to the Migdash, right? There's an extra Amida on Rosh Chodesh. Right? Do you have anything like that when it comes to the sun? But because of its miut, because of its readiness, l'kablis, you just see the moon as being sanctioned, as being put in its place. Ah, you said, how can two be equally strong at the same time? I'm going to demote you because of that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the moon as the second fiddle, and therefore made the moon, by definition, more receptive. Because he didn't torture the moon for its lifetime. Nebuch, you have to receive. He made the moon comfortable in that position. And therefore, the moon is more receptive to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you think about it, of course, you know that when you call Yisrael's count of the moon, the Malchus of the Jewish people is compared to the moon. We say, David Melch, Yisrael Chai V'Kayim HaKiddush Levana. Why? Because the Malchus of Yisrael is compared to the moon. Why? Because it's supposed to be, well, yes, because it cycles, it gets stronger, it gets weaker, but because it's supposed to be Melech Malchei Hamlochim, right? The king of the Jews is supposed to carry around the Sefer Torah all the time. He's supposed to see himself as being dependent on the word of the Torah and on the word of the Navi. He's not supposed to deviate from what the Navi says, Yamin Usmal, right or left. Right? He has to be a moon, not a sun king, right? The Malchei Mizrachu Marav, they see the sunshine in the morning, they get up and they bow down to, right? They're around the sun. Malchei Yisrael are around the moon. David HaMelech got up at midnight, right? When the moon was at its brightest, right? The kings of Mizrachu Marav got up when the sun shone in their faces at 3 hours into the morning. That's the way it is. And there's such a thing as women not obligated in time-bound mitzvahs. Mitzvah Shazman Grama. Right? Why? So you say they're busy, they have all kinds of demands on them, so you can't have schedules. But you know something? There are two areas of Zman Grama that are completely and totally the realm of women and not at all the realm of men. What are they? Nida and Rosh Chodesh. Shkayach. Right? Nida and Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them that yontif. and Nida. And what's Nida? Nida is monthly. And Nida, in fact, in Halacha, right? A woman who doesn't have a clearly determined pattern, so what does she have to, and when should she expect her next veset, her next period? Not her next period, when? 30 days. Otherwise known as, and we, you know, different she's in Halacha, Yom HaChodesh. We view it as being dependent on the moon cycle, the same day of the moon cycle. So women have a Zman Grama of the moon. Men have a Zman Grama of the sun. Right? Kriyashma, right? And Yomim Tovim, like Pesach, which is, yeah, of course, it's the 14th day of Nisan, but it's Aviv, Tkufas Hashana, right? It's based so much as well on the solar system at the same time. But it's being primed to be makabel, being ready to be makabel. It's not just being condemned to be makabel. It's being given the constitution to match. And again, it's not across the board. It's not across the board. And I don't think that the fact that it's not across the board is completely and totally sociologically induced. It may be sociologically enhanced, but it's not completely and totally sociologically induced. Now, some would say, the only reason why any woman ever wants to be out of the house is because they've got this thing in their head that women are supposed to be like men. I don't think so. I don't think in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu made things, he made everybody exactly the same. Because I can tell you, I know many men who seem to be stealing some of the Tisha Kabin, right, of Sicha. Was that sociologically induced? No. There are different, you know, there are exceptions to some degree to every rule, and just like lahavdil, when it comes to other aspects of male and female capacity, sometimes there are unfortunate exceptions. So there are also just differences in how people are. There are differences in how people are. I know a woman who is a fantastic head of detail in Gemara and every, you know, she beats her husband hands down in Gemara any day of the week. Right? Sociologically induced? I don't think it's sociologically induced. If not for the sociology, she wouldn't have the opportunity to do it, maybe, but there are exceptions. Okay, but that's number one. But that's mezurazim b'mitzvahs. There are those who say, I believe it's homiletic. I don't think it's this troop shot in the bracha, but it's nice. They women make a bracha in the morning. What's the bracha? Sha'asani kirtzainai. Kadosh Baruch Hu made me according to His will, right? So, men say Shalo Yasani Isha, thank you Hashem for not making me a woman, and women say Shasani Kirtzayne, blessed Hashem who made me according to His will. So, as opposed to some who say that in the Pesukim it says that's like the bracha of Dayan HaEmes, you know, that's what it says in another thing. You know, they're saying, look, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I accept what you do. So you made me a woman, you know. Okay. Don't try that one at breakfast, right? But the others say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asani Kirtzainai, right? You made me the way you wanted, you made me aligned with your will. In other words, you made me that I'm much more receiving of your will. You want it? I'm open to it. Men, they're resistant. They struggle much more with somebody telling them what to do. You made me aligned with your will. Even if you don't say that pshat. But I think that a woman's able to say Shasani Kirtzayne, she's able to be Makabalas, even if you're going to say something similar. You know, it would be nice maybe to have the extra mitzvahs that a man has and so on and so forth, but I'm perfectly comfortable with the way you made me because I'm a Kabbal. That's part of this vision. Again, not always, but there. Okay, so that's phase one. Everybody okay? Okay, phase two. I don't know if we're going to get through all of them because I have to run off a little early. The next sprat which it said was that because the women are manhigim es b'neim l'talmud Torah, they guide their children towards Torah study. What does that mean? You know, it sounds very much like what the Gemara in Saita says, where it discusses how women can merit to have the chelik of Torah that gives a person that special position l'olam haba that can only be delivered by Torah. If women don't have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And the Gemara says, because they support their husbands. They wait for their husbands to come home from their Seder. They send their children off to school. Right? In Baltimore, we would say they drive carpool, right? You know, whatever it is. So all those things that they do to support, that's their connection to Torah. And if you would ask me, Manhigim es b'neim l'talmud Torah, I would have thought that that would be the translation over here as well. Right? Because they guide their children to Torah, so therefore they should do it. But is that enough to explain why HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to the women first? Because they guide their sons to Torah? So the Maral goes deeper. And he speaks about the fact that the woman really primes the child altogether to be able to have Torah. In the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai enumerates the praises of his various Talmidim, when he speaks about Rabbi Yeshua, he says, Ashrei Yeladetai, fortunate is the one who gave birth to him. And what does that mean? Why is that the case? So we discussed this Mishnah in depth in the Pirkei Avos Shir last week. But here, the way the Maral describes it is because the Torah also comes to rest on the person, and the person is the Chaimer. And a person can be created with a purer Chaimer, or a more coarse Chaimer, a pure matter, a more difficult matter. When you saw somebody like Rabbi Yeshua, who the Torah just clung to him, you knew it because there was something very, very open about those raw materials. This Yelud Isha, this person born of a woman, was born of some kind of a special woman. Right? She had refined to the point that the child which would be born from her would be really open to receiving Torah. The woman will create that framework, that groundwork. Right? Would it be, you know, in general, but Chazal speak about it. Halacha, Shulchan Aruch speaks about how careful a woman who is pregnant should be about what goes into her, what she eats. What she eats. How careful a woman would be who's nursing a child to consider what she ate. What she ate. Now, I remember years ago here in Baltimore there was a terrible story that happened where there was a fundraising event that was on a boat.
Yeah.
There was a fundraising event that was on a boat, and it turned out that it was non-kosher food that was being served to people at the fundraising event. It was the wrong, whatever it was the wrong caterer. And so people from Eden ate treifas. And I remember I was davening in Glen Avenue at the time. I was in the Kailo, and Rabbi Hapfer spoke, and he talked about a lady who came to him to ask a shaila, which is a mafurish halacha and Shulchan Aruch, but it's beautiful. She was a nursing mother. She had been at the event. She was a nursing mother. She asked him how long she should wait before she nurses her baby, because that's halacha and Shulchan Aruch, that a woman who eats something which isn't kosher, even if it's ba'ainas, right, she shouldn't nurse her baby, because what she, you know, you are what you eat, you know, and she's giving over, and so in a sense, say Chazal, Ashrei Yeladetai is because the women did well. The woman did well if you see this in Rabbi Yeshua, and Farkert, you know, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to receive the Torah at Har Sinai, what did the Malachim said? Mali Yilud Isha Beinenu. What's this one born of a woman doing amongst us to come and get the Torah? And the answer is going to be, to some degree, if the Yelud Isha is, you know, because the woman has worked to cultivate that a Yelud Isha should be a complement, which is actually the way we find it, ultimately, in the Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga, where it speaks about those who learned the Torah, who were able to darshan and maisa markov, they said, how fortunate is the, you know, the Isha from whom this came, right? Or the, you know, Avram Avinu, the father from whom this came. She has a role in creating the soil in which the Torah is supposed to take root, and therefore it makes sense for her to come first, not just because she sends them out the door to Talmud Torah, because she creates the whole framework into which the Torah can enter. So that's the way he reads the second pshat. Bishvil sheman higayis es b'neihem l'talmud Torah, l'iches m'nei Torah. And finally, Rav Tachlifa said, "Roi lahakdim hanashim tchila Because he said, look what happened. When I spoke to Adam HaRishon, I didn't speak to Chava. And now, but look now, when I speak to the Matan Torah, I'm going to speak to Chava. I'll speak to them first. So the Maral explains this, not lefi pshutai, not according to the simple pshat. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Bidvarei. Maral explains it not according to the simple pshat. We'll try to make a dent in it, and maybe we might have to be mashlim it next time. He says, you know, in a certain sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Adam like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Torah to man. We have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. We're the ones who say Shalei Asani Isha, right? With all the stuff that we said before about how the woman is able to have the greater connection, I don't hear them saying Shalei Asani Ish, right? And the simplest pshat, by the way, as you know, in Shalei Asani Isha is not, oh gosh, I'm so happy I don't have to do the dishes, right? But Shalei Asani Isha is like Shalei Asani Gai, Shalei Asani Ev, Shalei Asani Isha, as it said, is that the person is grateful for the opportunities of the mitzvahs which he has in life. And first of all, we're not goyim, so we have more than the Sheva mitzvahs. Second of all, we're not avodim. Avodim and Eved Kanani has a much higher level of mitzvahs than a goy. And we're not even nashim, we're not even women. Right? We got it all the way. We have every realm of mitzvah open to us.
Why won't you be more positive?
It's a good question. It's a good question. It's an asked question. I can't address it right now. The issue though is that man is given special privilege. Man is given a special privilege to be engaged in Torah and so on and so forth in this way. So there is something there that the Adam is able to be somehow achieving more of a commonality of Tzelem Elikim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you understand that on a certain level. So there's an advantage of women. Women have an easier time with the attachment. But on the other hand, man, when successful in the attachment, is given a greater opportunity and a greater potential to be able to achieve through the attachment. So put those two together, and you end up seeing things sort of go a little bit in these two different directions. So, Emir Tashem, I have to stop. I realize I can't get into this properly now because I have to run to a bris, which I have to be out on time. So I'm going to excuse myself. Emir Tashem, we'll try to have a more thorough discussion of this next time, and please look forward to seeing you.
Yeah.